Stay tuned.
You're listening to Say Hey, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program right here on 90.1 KZFR. Joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm looking forward to this upcoming weekend, going for the funk of it.
Oh,
me,
yeah.
Me and my buddy Dave rented a cabin for the weekend. So
they got cabins up there?
Yes, they do.
That's
Beldentown,
cool.
That resort right
That's
there.
In Beldentown.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Spenny is influential in that, is he?
Yes,
not?
He is the co-promoter.
That's right.
Him and Bob.
That's right. I'm going to go to the ball game tomorrow night.
Awesome.
And then on Thursday, I'm going to take off and go to Mexico for a week.
Excellent.
And then come back next week. Just a quick trip.
Astros are in town, right?
Astros are in town, then the Nationals. So we'll get to that in just a bit.
Big stretch for the Giants.
Big stretch for the Giants. Big stretch for a lot of teams right now. It's kind of feels like there's some movement going on around the league.
Absolutely.
And we'll come back to it. We're going to lead off the program today. And we're going to make note of a sporting icon, if you will, that passed away yesterday. Frank Gifford, 84.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like us are too young to remember him playing.
Right.
But he was the voice of Monday Night Football for as long as anyone ever was. He was there with Cosell and Meredith, and he went all the way through 9 total broadcasters, and he was the color guy forever and ever.
Forever and ever. He is... part of my earliest memories, mm-hmm. Watching sports on television. I remember watching on a little black and white up in my room, staying up past my bedtime, mm-hmm. you know, being from the East Coast, the games didn't start until 9 o'clock.
Right.
And, that was also in an era before Sunday Night Football and, definitely before Thursday night. I mean, years before Thursday night.
Yeah.
And so that was the primetime game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's kind of gotten diluted, you know.
It has, because there's so many other options.
So many other options. But Monday Night Football was literally, it was an event.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, you know, him being the voice. Like you said, he's the color guy forever. I remember the team I remember the most was Al Michaels and Dan Dierdorf.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, he was just such an influential guy. Both in and out of the league, had a great playing career, like you said, before we ever saw it.
New York Giants.
Still the all-time touchdown leader for the New York Football Giants.
That's pretty amazing.
And he played both ways. He was a cornerback, which a lot of people don't realize.
Yep, he was part of the 56 championship team, is that right?
Missed an entire year because he took that serious hit from Bud Bednarik.
Very famous hit from Chuck Bednarik, which if you go back, it's available on YouTube. It's like... it's kind of the first highlight reel, like, just bone crusher that you've seen looped forever and ever.
It's as iconic as that photo of Y.A. Tittle kneeling on the ground, bleeding from his head.
Right.
You know, it's kind of that it's old blood and guts football.
Clothesline.
Yeah.
And Frank Gifford, like, he literally falls back, like, arms at the side.
Right, you can tell he's knocked out.
He's just out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely iconic. So, yeah, Frank Gifford, 84 years old, apparently was not in especially ill health for a long time leading up to it, just passed away quickly of natural causes.
Yeah, not a bad way to go.
No, not a bad way to go. 84, it's a good run. And I was going to play a clip here of one of the more memorable calls or scenarios, if you will, in any sporting broadcast. Of course, when John Lennon was murdered... It happened on a Monday night, and Howard Cosell, who happened to be friends with John Lennon, and this was a big event on television, so millions of people are watching. They got the news. They made kind of the national announcement, he and Frank Gifford. And so this is a clip from a like an hour-long documentary of some sort where they just kind of detail how it came to be that the announcement would be made.
Right.
And at one point you'll hear off air Cosell and Frank Gifford. Cosell doesn't know, should I say something? Gifford says, yes, you should. So it's just a couple minutes, and this is how it all went down. This is KZFR.
Butterflies must be churning in the stomach of John Smith, the field goal kicker for New England.
Roone told me what I should do and how I should do it, being very careful about me giving Howard the news because Howard was friends with John Lennon, and Roone knew that he would be upset.
There he is, John Smith, and he could be on the spot in just a moment.
As the game went to commercial break with 40 seconds left, Cosell was uncertain what to do. He told Gifford off the air what he knew, that John Lennon was dead. In the booth, before coming back live, they had less than a minute to decide what to do.
He was shot outside his apartment, the Dakota apartment. Fellas, I just don't know. I'd like your opinion. I can't see this game situation allowing for that news flash. Can you?
Absolutely, I can see it.
You can?
You betcha. We've got to. We know it. We've got to do it.
All right.
I don't hang on. It's a tragic moment. And
all right.
This is going to shake up the whole world.
All right. I will get it in. Let Gift call this play, and then I'll get it in.
It was just a situation where you didn't quite know what to do with it. And meanwhile, we decided we would go ahead and go with it.
Don Smith is on the line, and I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
I thought he handled it extraordinarily well. Honestly, I was still concerned that maybe we had done the wrong thing. As it turns out, we didn't. We informed millions and millions of people that one of the great people of show business had been assassinated.
It was the voice of Frank Gifford right there finishing up that little segment. And I get totally chilled
when
I hear that stuff every time. Because obviously I was... that was 1980?
Yeah, I was
That was
three.
2 years before I was even born.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as big a Beatle fan as I am and as you are, and John Lennon's my favorite Beatle, I mean, if I'd been alive for that, it would have totally rocked me, you know, to hear that on television like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that they were even, you know, contemplating it, because it seems like in today's news media, you know, there's this thought, well, I'd rather be first and wrong than second and right.
Right.
So I think it's cool that they actually stepped back and really kind of struggled with it. Shows that they weren't just trying to get the headline. They really were concerned about, like, how it would affect the listeners. Was it whether or not it was appropriate to do it during the game and all those considerations. So just a really, really interesting moment in time.
Yeah, and you're thinking on your toes so fast in the broadcast booth like that. You know, in a matter of 1 minute, you decide whether or not you're going to make some, like, for worse, a historic announcement. You know what I mean? And you just, that's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, as far as all the deaths, you know, that happened from, like, you know, say the mid-60s through 1980, you know, with Martin Luther King and, you know, the Kennedys. I mean, honestly, Lennon was kind of up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he kind of, like, crossed. It wasn't just about music. It was about, like, a peace movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of was like, that was kind of the day the 60s ended, sort of.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was in 1980. I know that kind of sounds silly.
Right.
But, like, you know what I mean? It was just, he was just such an icon, and it affected just millions of people. Hundreds of millions.
Yeah, even on a sports broadcast.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, rest in peace, Frank Gifford. And that segues into a slightly different aspect of talking football.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that Noobs and I have decided that we're not going to cover the NFL this year on
not
Say Hey. We're blacking it out.
We're blacking it out.
You've heard us complain about a lot of different things. Domestic violence, Roger Goodell, the absurdity of handling discipline with players, whether it's the Patriots or Ray Rice or
Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon or yada, yada, yada. You've heard us complain about the product on the field with the inconsistencies and the officiating and the rule changes and just all this stuff. And we're just...
It's reached ahead.
Like, we don't have, like, a real... Nothing we can do can really change any of that.
No.
But at the very least, we can just say, you know what? We're not about it this year.
Yeah, it's a decision that I'm glad that we both came to. It was funny, you know, when I texted you that night and then you had replied right away, I was just about to send you an email talking about this. I thought that was great because, you know, and for me, obviously, like the whole Brady thing personally, because I'm such a Patriots fan, I think it's ridiculous. But it ties in, like you just said, about just the inconsistencies coming from the commissioner's office. And you even have guys like Richie Incognito coming out today and being like he was treated unfairly with his abuse thing, you know, and obviously you got to take it from where it's coming from. So I don't know how much clout that guy's got. But the point is the players, it seems like, are tired of him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's obviously some owners out there that have a lot of problems with him. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, like you said, the package on the field, it's just, it's not like thinking about Frank Gifford. I mean, this is very poignant that we're, you know, we're dealing with this today because like going back to my youth, maybe I was just innocent. You know what I mean? And maybe there was just as many problems with the NFL back then as there are now.
Totally.
Whether it's steroid use or, you know, and so I guess we're just going to take this time because, we only have a half hour on the show anyway. So I think it's going to be good because we can. It's not like we're going to stop talking football.
No, we're going to talk college football.
College football, Pac-12, Cal, Stanford. Uh-huh. And, you know, I would like, and I think we'll probably have an opportunity to maybe cover even a lot more high school
stuff.
Chico, PV, Chico Oroville, and definitely talk some Roadrunner football.
Uh-huh.
Butte College is one of those programs that has helped launch the careers of a few NFL players, including our own Aaron Rodgers here in Chico. So. You know, so sorry, guys, if you're tuning in here to get some Niners and Raiders info, it's just not going to happen.
No, it's not. And I guess that if something really crazy happened, like if another player passed away or like something really bizarre that wasn't just about NFL.
Right.
Well, then, yeah, we would talk about that.
Right.
But just like, you know, we're not going to break down the NFC West.
Not going to happen.
We're not going to do a Super Bowl preview.
Not going to happen.
And you know what's even more bizarre is like, so I've taken a break from my fantasy league this year. Mm-hmm. I've been in with a bunch of my friends for like a decade.
Yeah.
And that hurts me. But like I can't really like get fired up about playing this year just because, you know, if you're going to do something like a fantasy sport, you should be putting time into it. Otherwise, why are you doing it?
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be fun and engaging. So that sucks. I can't claim that I'm not going to watch the NFL. I mean, I like football too much.
No, we're going to watch it.
I'm still going to go underground and watch the games.
Yeah.
I won't watch it with much spitfire. Like, I don't have that burning thing for the Niners. You know, I just don't.
Yeah, no, my personal view on it this year is when I'm watching, it's more like I'm keeping tabs on, like, how much further it's regressing and whether or not it's going to turn around. I'm curious to see if there's going to be any backlash with Roger Goodell, if he's going to wind up being forced out. You know, I'm kind of hoping for a change, but at the same time, it's kind of like a slow car crash, and I hate to say that, but like I'm interested to see what the future of the NFL is and what effect that's going to have on kids coming up and playing more baseball, soccer, whatever it is. So I'm definitely going to keep my eye on it. And this is the first year I'm joining a keeper league in football. So I think that will keep my interest peaked a little bit. But honestly, guys are sending me trade offers right now via email, and I can't even concentrate on it.
I know.
I'm so hardcore into baseball right now that it's like football's so far off my radar.
Yeah. And you know what's also interesting is, so we'll be into the, you know, NCAA and stuff, which isn't to say that they don't have massive problems of
absolutely
their own. They do. And I know it's hard to explain.
So that might come across as hypocritical, maybe.
It's hard to explain a bit, but there are how many NCAA Division I football teams are
120.
There? 120. And yeah, the NCAA is the governing body, but in a way, they're kind of like a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
Every program is more or less run within the confines of its own university.
Or conference. Yeah, university, then conference.
And then the NCAA chooses to get involved when they see fit.
Right.
And yeah, there's a lot of bad things out there like the Florida States and all these places.
Yes.
But I also like to think that a lot of these schools are run in a more legitimate way. They're not all is whereas the NFL as like an entity,
as an institution,
it like blankets the whole thing.
Yes,
you know, and like I can't
protect the shoe.
I can't see out of that blanket.
Yeah,
right
no,
now.
You're absolutely right. I mean, if say you're a fan of like Bowling Green,
yeah,
you can separate Bowling Green University from the NCAA,
mm-hmm.
and all the problems that are rooted in the NCAA kind of like don't necessarily bleed into Bowling Green University,
right.
For example,
right.
Now like the Ohio States of the world, the Alabamas of the world, yeah, you have to assume that there's a lot of kids that are getting tutors to take their tests.
Or they're getting their legal problems swept under the rug.
Legal problems swept under the rug by complicit law enforcement,
uh-huh.
Who just want to see the team do well, who are doing favors to the coaching staff and the university itself. These things happen, and there are integral, like really, really bad problems within the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are more easily tapped to throw games. Mm-hmm. For instance, you see a lot more game fixing, and you know, because in the NFL it's harder to get to these guys. They're multimillionaires.
Yeah.
What are you going to do other than
what
maybe threaten
do?
Their family or something?
Right.
Then that's just kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So I mean, don't get me wrong. There's tons of problems with college, but we can't block out everything.
No.
We're choosing to not cover the NFL. I think it's a conscientious decision. I'm glad that we're doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that we won't necessarily come back to it next year.
Yeah. We very well may.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, here we go.
But I mean, we got a lot of baseball left.
Stuff.
We got a lot of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is hot right now. It's that time of year. In fact, it was a weekend of sweeps.
Big time.
The Cubs swept the Giants. The Jays swept the Yankees.
The Pirates swept the Dodgers.
Yep. It was one of those weekends.
Yeah, and the A's had a good showing against the Astros.
Yeah, yeah. Ray reminded me today they took 3 of 4 from the Astros, including a walk-off yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So the Astros come into San Francisco now needing to play better.
Wild card seems like it's kind of shaping up. The NL really only has a few teams. Like, I'd say there's 7 teams still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the AL is a little bit more jumbled, although we're starting to see some separation there.
Yeah.
With the Twins falling off.
Mm-hmm.
Texas not really being able to climb above 500.
Tigers aren't really in it.
But the Giants better... You know, they better keep pace, because that 4-game sweep took them from a half game up on the Cubbies to 3.5 back.
I really think that second place in the NL West will not get a wild card spot.
Nor will the second place in the East.
Yeah. No, I think the wild card spots are both coming out of the Central.
Which means that, you know, you're going to have a really good team as far as the Mets or the Nationals not make the playoffs, and you're also going to have either the Dodgers or the Giants not make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of mind-boggling to think about, because those 4 squads are pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah.
You could make an argument the Mets have the best starting 5 as far as their pitching rotation in the majors.
They are potentially dominant on any given night, although Colon is starting to balloon up, not just in weight,
right.
But his ERA is now almost 5.
Is not good. He had a good start against the Marlins last week,
yeah.
But he's kind of one of those guys that's like one good start, one horrible start. But, you know, say they do get into the playoffs, they're going to mm-hmm. shorten that rotation. I think he'll be the odd man out. Nice will be that 4th guy. And they have Mats coming off the DL, mm-hmm. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some depth there. They've got a decent bullpen with Familia now. Clippard handling 8th inning duties.
Yep.
Bobby Parnell. So I think the Mets, if they do get into the playoffs, they could be dangerous.
Well, and the moves they made offensively have paid off.
For sure.
Cespedes is like
lighting it up.
Swinging it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's lifting up everybody.
Flores.
Duda, Granderson.
Yeah, Duda, Granderson. These guys are coming around.
Uribe's hit a couple home runs.
Uribe's played well. He's a winner. Uribe's got 2 rings with 2 different franchises.
Yeah.
That dude knows how to win. I really think that I think the Mets are going to win that division.
I think so, too.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have said that before the trade deadline, because their offense was so bad. But now, and the Nationals just continue to struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, they're super talented, but it's really not coming together for whatever reason.
And getting Strasburg is no guarantee that he's going to come in and just start laying it up.
No.
You know, and it's funny, because on MLB Network, they keep playing this clip of Jason Worth saying, "We're the team to beat in the National League. We know it. Everybody knows it."
Right.
And they just keep replaying that. And I think it's hilarious, because it's like they might not even make the playoffs.
They might not make the playoffs. I mean, they're only a few games above 500 right now.
Not to toot my own horn, but the Mets were my dark horse pick this year.
Oh, no, I remember.
You know?
I remember they were. No, absolutely.
I also picked the White Sox to win the
Central.
You did. So there's that.
There's that turd in the room. But, you know, the one thing about the Giants right now is, and I've mentioned it before, that they're an incredibly streaky team this year with several runs of 5 losses or more and 5 wins or more.
Right.
And the thing about that is, when you go on streaks of winning, they're not as profitable as your losing streaks are going to be typically in terms of being negative, because when you're losing, you got to hope that everyone else around you, the good teams, is losing too.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're winning, you just kind of automatically expect that other, you know, decent teams are also winning. If you go out and drop 4 and 5 straight several times a year, these other teams they're going to make up ground real quick.
And especially if it's to a team that you're fighting
with. Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, I mean, that was a disastrous series in Chicago.
Oh, it was a huge swing because, I mean, that was the team that they're chasing, or they were slightly ahead of going into the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you look at, you know, you brought up earlier the Blue Jays going into New York.
Man, they're hot.
Taking 3 now. That all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, they were 5.5 out. Now they're a game and a half out.
Yeah, they've won something like 12 in a row with Tulowitzki in the lineup.
Yeah, they haven't lost when he started. You know, they've won 11 out of 12, I think. And their offense is just ridiculous. And now they've got that number one starter in Price to kind of knock guys like Burley and Estrada back as far as the guys that they'll have to go up against, starter versus starter. So I think the Blue Jays are a very dangerous team.
Oh, yeah. I think Donaldson should be the front runner for MVP right now. I know that people want to give it to Trout automatically because he's the poster boy and all.
No, I think you'd have to give it to Donaldson.
What Donaldson's doing for his team on the whole and has throughout the season, his numbers are every bit as good as Trout's in all the categories.
And his team's better.
And his team is better.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he should wind up winning the MVP if he keeps this head of steam going.
Oh, I completely agree with that sentiment.
Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't get a lot of attention playing for the A's and now the Blue Jays, but he's not totally under the radar.
No.
Blue Jays are getting some love.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, you could consider them a Northeastern team. I mean, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're just, you know.
They play in the AL East.
They play in the AL East, you know, and, you know, they're not that far above the border. I think you're right, though. People do kind of forget about the Blue Jays, but, you know, this is a franchise that won 2 World Series in a row in the early 90s under Cito Gaston and had some good teams there in the 80s, too. So it's kind of fun to see a Blue Jays resurgence.
I love it, man, because their fans are actually pretty good fans.
Yeah.
I used to pack that place in the 90s and even the 80s when it was like Dave Steeb and all.
There was one year they got 4 million people, excuse me, through the turnstiles, which is during an 80 games at home, 81.
Yeah.
That's an average of 50,000 people a game.
And they've got fans showing up now, and
it's loud in there.
It's loud in there, and Buck Martinez is still doing color, and I love Buck Martinez. He's like my favorite color analyst in baseball.
No, I would love it. I mean, granted, being a Red Sox fan, not to belabor that point too much, but, like, you know, obviously I don't really have any love for the Rays, the Orioles, the Yankees, or the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, like, within that division, I'd rather see the Yankees lose out. You know what I mean? Like, any of those other 3 teams, I'd rather be in there besides the Yankees. So
definitely,
if they can actually overtake New York and maybe say the Angels wind up getting that wild card, then maybe if the Yankees don't even make the playoffs, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother me.
Yeah.
I think circling back to the Giants real quick, that this homestand with Houston and Washington coming in is really huge. Like, they have to turn their current slide around immediately. If they went out and lost both series, unless the Dodgers continue to lose too, which maybe they will, because the Dodgers really aren't playing that well.
No, it looks like they're going to lose Kendrick for a couple weeks.
Right, and he's been having a great year.
Great year. Yeah. Phenomenal. I mean, not to talk about fantasy too much, but he's been my starting second baseman all year.
Yeah.
With as much roster turnover as happens in fantasy, I've basically got 3 guys that I've been.
Yeah.
So he's been phenomenal. I've definitely been keeping my eye on him. That's going to be tough. They are getting Justin Turner back from a leg infection in a couple days, so hopefully he can fill in for them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Dodgers fan, that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I figure, how many more games do those guys have against each other? 9?
They've got like 9 more games down the stretch.
So,
and I'm sure probably late September. 3 in late September in San Francisco. One thing the Giants have to do is they have to bench Angel Pagan. I mean,
oh, terrible at bat yesterday.
He is the least, statistically speaking, he's the least valuable player in the big leagues as a starter.
Wow.
His numbers are god-awful. His defense is, I mean, he doesn't pass the eye test, let alone the defensive metrics test. He's just weighing him down. I cannot believe that they're still starting him in center field and batting him leadoff. It makes no sense.
And he came up in a big spot yesterday, too, with they were down, what, like 3-2 in the ninth or whatever?
They were down 2-0 in the ninth with the bases loaded and nobody out. And they went Hector Sanchez, strikeout. Angel Pagan, strikeout. Yep. Gregor Blanco, strikeout.
Yeah.
To really put the exclamation point on that series.
And it's tough not having that support, because some of those guys are having career years. Like Brandon Crawford is playing out of his mind.
And they're banged up right now. Panic's on the DL. Susak's on the DL. Yeah. Mike Leake, their newest acquisition, is on the DL.
Yeah.
The bullpen's tired. But getting back to the Dodgers for a second, I want to underscore last night's game against Pittsburgh as another example of why I believe, and this is completely unbiased, that Don Mattingly is a very poor in-game manager.
He's a very poor chooser of frames.
He's got bad frames.
He's got his Gloria Vanderbilt collection.
He's got Gloria Vanderbilt.
Exciting new frames.
Exciting new frames. The Dodgers had a lead in I think it was the seventh last night.
Yeah, 5-3, I think.
Yeah, 5-3. And they bring in Jim Johnson, who they got in the trade deadline, who's a bum. I don't care that he was having a comeback
year.
He's a bum. And Mattingly leaves him in to give up 8 runs in a game they had the lead in.
Yeah.
They had Howell sitting out there in the bullpen just ready to go. He gave up 8 runs. That doesn't make any sense.
Nah.
I mean, I'm telling you, I know that it would seem like I'm bashing the Don Mattingly is not a good in-game manager. He does not have that sense of the game around him. His pitching decisions are very suspect. His substitutions are suspect. I do not think the Dodgers will get it done with Don Mattingly at the helm, because a manager will cost you games when you get up there in those tight situations against other good teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
It happens all the time.
And, I mean, look at, you know, those rosters he's had for the last couple of years. I mean, they're just, you know, they get to the postseason and then they choke.
And think about how many singular games in the postseason that Bruce Bochy has probably won for the Giants over their last 3 runs.
Right.
I mean, that's a guy that hits a chess match and he's, you know, he's making the right moves.
No, that's a great point, because that's kind of the equalizer as a manager, because I think Bochy has taken, I don't want to say substandard rosters, but teams that maybe you wouldn't think are championship teams.
He's gotten
teams,
them to overachieve.
Right, whereas like Mattingly has taken this all-star roster and kind of made them a little bit worse.
Yeah.
In a way. You know
I agree.
What I mean?
I agree. I think this is it for Donnie Baseball. I think he gets the gate after this season unless they have something big-time turnaround, and like you say, you had predicted them to perhaps win the NL.
I said that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I know. We're not even talking about the Cardinals. They've got 71 wins.
I know. Well, that's because it's like snooze city with those guys, because they do it every year.
106 games.
I know.
And no one's talking about them.
Sorry, Cardinals fans.
I know. They're just blowing people out.
But that's the thing, though. It's like you made a point the other day last week. You were like, it's funny that the story isn't the Yankees.
Right.
And it's great. And the story right now, or at least for us, is not the Cardinals. But that's because when you win every year, it's just kind of like, it's not really noteworthy.
And they don't get the attention anyway, even when they do win.
Right.
I mean, compare them to some of the other franchises that win, like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, who haven't even done anything.
Right.
They just don't get, you know, they're a Midwest
team. Even the Angels get a lot.
Or even the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, the Cubs haven't been to a World Series since 1945.
Right.
And every time they even sniff the playoffs. But that's okay. I get it with the Cubs. I mean, that's always an exciting story. But, I mean, we got a lot of baseball left, and I'm excited for it. So that's where we're going right now. No more NFL.
No more NFL.
Keep the other things rolling.
Yeah.
And we'll be okay.
We will, yeah. Time will march on.
Yes.
The sun will rise tomorrow.
The sun will rise tomorrow. Maybe not on ESPN, but on Say Hey, it will rise.
Right.
Say Hey is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico's newest restaurant, Buffalo Wild Wings. They opened on August 9th. They feature 36 beers on tap, wall-to-wall HD TVs with nonstop sports, wings, and more. Open every day from 11 a.m. till midnight. More information at buffalowildwings.com. And I'd like to say congrats to my brother who works out there. And they sponsor KZFR, which
awesome.
Is cool. They also included Catalyst Domestic Violence in their soft opening, which was awesome.
Very cool.
And my brother did a good job this weekend, so good
awesome.
Job, Matt. And then we want to say thank you to Oak Ridge Cabinets, Northern California's full-service manufacturer of custom cabinets since 1981. Oak Ridge Cabinets offers cabinet design and manufacturing for your home or office at 11128 Midway in Durham. More information is available by calling 893-8774 or oakridgecabinets.net. And Noobs, it was a good show. And,
good to see you as always.
Stick around. We've got some very informative news programming coming right at you. It's KZFR. Or Oak Ridge Cabinets.net. And news is a good show.